Daniel chapter 7 is where we'll take up our study tonight. Daniel chapter 7. And this chapter reverts back to the Babylonian era in this book. We have followed Daniel in transition from Babylon under Nebuchadnezzar and Belshazzar. And then he has an encounter with Darius, king of the Medes and the Persians. Well, now we're dropping back on the... chapter 7 drops back on the timeline to a dream that Daniel had, a vision that Daniel had under the reign of Babylon and Belshazzar. Okay? So, the book of Daniel and the book of Revelation, neither of them are chronological. And they tend to move around or give you things that are happening simultaneously. So let's take a look at Daniel chapter 7. What we'll do tonight is we're going to simply look at Daniel chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 13. And we're going to see the alignment of nations and nations that are predicted to be in the earth in the mouth of a prophet from 2,500 years ago. Nations that will exist today at the coming of the Lord. And some of the things that they are involved in today. Daniel sees it, and then John sees it again 500 years later. And it's changed somewhat when John sees it. And it's really neat the way that the Word of God delivers these to you. Oh, by the way, how many of you saw the headline about China wanting a new world currency? How many of you have lived for God a long time and you've heard, and there's going to be a one world monetary system? And it's hard to see, though, because the dollar has been so strong. And in less than a year, Uncle Sam has become a little bit senile and a little wobbly. And China's saying, we don't really want to invest in that. We don't feel really secure in that. And you can go back to when we left the gold standard. But forget about it. Because it doesn't matter how we got here. And it doesn't... Look, you really need to take a deep breath here and get this and understand this. The politicians are not the problem. But the politicians can't solve the problem. You say, well, but they are the problem. They've been presiding over this train wreck. No. It starts long, long ago in a perfect garden with the first man and the woman. And it all began to unravel there, and everything else is just merely the consequence of how we fell into sin. And so the primary thing here is what we're doing tonight, what you're doing in your home and in your family. And when they're captive and they're about to go into captivity in Babylon, God tells Ezekiel, tell the people when they go into captivity to pray for the peace and the prosperity of that place, because your peace and your prosperity are tied to that. If they have cataclysm, you're going to live through cataclysm. So we pray for the peace and the prosperity of our city and of our nation. But be careful, because the long tendrils, the powerful tendrils of patriotism and national... I can open up a whole big old can of worms here. Because if we... On Memorial Day, if we had a great big full-size American flag come down here and we played the Stars and Stripes, you'd feel some kind of chill bumps. I don't know if they're Holy Ghost chill bumps or not. And this stuff gets all twisted together. It gets all mixed up. But this nation is not in a primary sense what you're a part of anymore. You're a part of the kingdom of God. Nations and kingdoms are going to pass away. But God has established a kingdom in the earth that will never, ever, never pass away. Praise God. So pray for the peace and prosperity. Do a good job on your job. Get an education. A marketable skill. What a novel idea. Young ladies need a marketable skill. Because you might find Romeo, but Romeo might get hit by a bus. Oh no, that's not how it's going to happen in my narrative. See, that's the problem. You make narratives and you think that the world's going to say, oh, that's a great idea. We'll just achieve and build and gain and prosper and do all you can do. But keep one eye on the eastern skies. Praise God. Does that make sense to you? How long will we be here? I don't know. I don't know how long you'll be here. There may be a bus out there with my name on it. But while we're here, we do the very best we can. And what's our function? What's our goal? Kingdoms? What's the kingdom's goal? Yeah, the Son of Man is come. Why did he come? To seek and to save that which was lost. If we're the incarnation of God, then we're here to seek and to save that which is lost. Yeah, that's right. Your primary goal is to be an extension of his incarnation. Herein is your Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So that's what we're about. I want you to be the best at what you do. But understand this. God has strategically placed you in a position where you can touch people that nobody else could touch. God's brought you to the kingdom for such a time as this. And I do believe, even as we look at this prophecy tonight, that in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. I believe we're in for a great, great day of revival. Praise God. And so you could say that your soul and those souls that you touch for the kingdom of God are really going to be the only thing that you can take with you when you leave here. Praise God. All right, Daniel chapter 7. Am I digressing? Daniel 7. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. And then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. And Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion, and it had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second likened to a bear, and it raised itself up on one side, and it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. And after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. And the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and exceedingly strong. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. And let's give God praise and thanks for his word tonight that is forever settled in the heavens. Praise God. Praise God. Glory to God. We magnify you, Lord, and we praise you for your word forever settled in the heavens. Now, Brother Randy, if you're going to use those images, then you might want to kill these. Just see how it works with the platform lights on, and then see how it is with them off. Yeah, that's not real great, is it? This one may not come out so very nicely. Kill the platform lights and just try. Well, go on to the next one. Yeah, that's better. Daniel said, I saw in the vision these great beasts that strove upon the sea. The four winds were blowing upon the sea. And the wind in the kingdom of God is, or in the word of God, is typological for the moving of the Spirit of God. And so the Spirit of God is moving upon the face of the deep, if you would. God has a plan and it's moving. And these beasts come up out of the sea. Now, as we go to Revelation 13, you're going to see that Revelation 13 opens with a beast coming up out of the sea. And if you go to Revelation chapter 17, you find that the sea, and this is very helpful because the word of God comes to John and explains to him that the waters, the many and the great waters, are peoples and nations and tongues. And so these beasts are coming up out of the collective humanity of the day. And so these nations, these beasts are rising up out of the people and out of the nations. Now, as we make our way through the seventh chapter, Daniel is going to identify for us what exactly this is about. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and in the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all of this. So he told me and made me to know the interpretation of the things. These great beasts, which are four kings. Everyone say four kings. Which shall arise out of the earth. But verse 18, he wants you to know, even in the beginning of the discussion, he wants you to know, but the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. He said, I'm about to show you some things in these nations, these kings, they have great power. But I want you to know before we ever start this discussion that the saints of the Most High are going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess it forever and ever. So if you see something dreadful and you see something terrible and you see the power of the nations around you, or you see the emergence of the Antichrist system, just remember the saints of the Most High are going to take the kingdom and they're going to possess it forever and ever. Because you have to understand this. It's not about land, and it's not about money, and it's not about earthly secular kingdoms, and it's not about parliaments, and it's not about congresses. It's not about positions of authority in this world. It is about the kingdom of God. And the least in the kingdom of God is greater than the greatest in the secular world. You didn't hear that, and I don't know if you really believe that, but let me tell you again. The least among us in the spiritual, in the kingdom of God, is greater, has greater authority. This young man here, filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, if God comes tonight, the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of my Lord and of his Christ, and this young man's going to rule and reign with Christ for the first 1,000 years. Listen to me and understand, all the kingdoms that have ever existed, all the armies that have marched, the kingdom of God has more power in its left foot than all of those armies and all of those kingdoms. And you think, how can this be? Well, you got to wait. You got to wait to see this happen. Jesus hanging on the cross doesn't look like a winner. The plan doesn't look like it's going along very well. When the Roman soldiers are busting his lips under a little bag they put on his head, and they're saying, prophesy. If you're the Messiah, tell us which one of the four or five of us here hit you. And they laughed and they backslapped and he didn't look like the king of the universe, but he was. And you don't look like the children of God, but you are. Tell you, try that out on your neighbor. You don't really look like the children of God, but you are. You see, when men make a child of God, you know, it's like the centurion at the cross. When the centurion at the cross looks up and says, truly, this was the Son of God, all the commentaries say, oh, he was saved in that moment. And he understood that Jesus was the Son of God. Baloney. He's a Roman. He's a pagan. He believes in many gods. And literally, that is just like Nebuchadnezzar at the door of the fiery furnace. He's saying, this man impresses me so much, I think he must be a son of the gods. Because how was he raised? He was raised with Apollos. He was raised with Hercules. When men make sons of God, they make them like Hercules. You know what I think Samson looked like? I think Samson was the skinniest kid on the block. But when he shook himself, the Philistines said, "Watch out, he's shaking himself again. 130 pounds with the jawbone of an ass, and he kills 1,000 Philistines." What did you think? Did you think Samson was? No. The whole heartbeat of the kingdom of God is so that no flesh glories in his presence. I can guarantee you, Samson wasn't 6'4", 230 pounds of carved granite. When God sends the chain in the hand of an angel, to lock Satan up for 1,000 years, I'll guarantee you, he chooses the scrawniest angel in all of heavendom. What do you think? What do you think? My God, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. You know what you are right now? You're a grub. But you're going to be a butterfly. My God, can you imagine the transformational power of God? Can you imagine what you're going to be? Pat your neighbor and just tell him, right now you're a grub. But you're going to be a butterfly. And that's just a metaphor. Because right now you're the Son of God. And it does not yet appear what you're going to be. But when he shall appear, we shall be like. How is he? How is Jesus? How's Jesus? Oh, well, he looks like a guy that sleeps under the bridge. You know, he's got long hair. A big old. Now, the Bible says it's a shame for a man to have long hair. So he doesn't have long hair. That was the homosexual influence of the Renaissance artists. Even though some of you had long hair. I can see you clearly in the corner of the altar when you had hair. I can see me when I had hair. But Jesus didn't look. What do you think Jesus looks like right now? Humble carpenter's son? John said, "I heard a voice behind me, and it sounded like Niagara Falls. And I turned to see, and he had a voice like many waters. And his eyes were on fire, and his feet were on fire, and his hair was white as wool, and a sharp two-edged sword came out of his mouth." My God, he is the glorified Christ. He is nothing like the Nazarene. He is nothing like the carpenter's son. The only thing that looks like that anymore are the nail prints in his hands. But you're going to be like him. That's not exciting to you, is it? Well, try this. No more rheumatism. No more creaky knees. No more sickness in your body. No more doctor's trips. No more medicine 3 times a day. No more sickness. No more death. No more saying goodbye. I just needed to stop for a minute on, but the saints of the Most High God shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. Praise God. Are you ready for this? Paul says you're going to judge angels. Are you ready for this? You need to sit up straight. Paul says you're going to judge the nations. You need to start acting like that now. Right now, you need to begin to groom yourself for the job. Okay. Then I would know the truth of the fourth beast, verse 19, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron, his nails of brass, and he had 10 horns, and a little horn that rises up that speaks very great things. And I beheld, verse 21, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. And this is a clutch and a time stamp verse, verse 22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High, and the time that the saints possessed the kingdom. So this verse tells you that these animal symbols for nations are going to be in the earth at the time that the Ancient of Days sits, and the kingdoms of the earth become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ and of his people. So this is a glimpse into the nations of the earth in the time of the coming of the Lord. Now, if you're reading a stock prophecy book, what you're going to see is the statue of Nebuchadnezzar, head of gold, shoulders of silver, belly and thighs of brass, legs of iron, feet of iron and clay. You're going to see that big statue. And then out to the right of that, you're going to see the lion with wings, the bear with ribs in his mouth raised up on one side. You're going to see the leopard, and then you're going to see the horrible beast. And what most prophecy commentaries do is that they make a linkage between all of these visions and declare that all of them are Babylon, Media Persia, Greece, and then Rome. Now, I'm not going to get into a chicken fight with you about whether or not these animal symbols might in some way reflect Babylon as the lion, Media Persia as the bear, Greece as the leopard, and Rome as the great and terrible beast. But I am going to tell you that the very animal symbols that Daniel talked about 500 years before the Christ are in this world right now with a resurgent Israel, with Mark of the Beast technology at point of sale all around you, with China rattling and making noises about a worldwide monetary system, with a basket full of end time prophecies already come to pass, Russia and Iran doing nuclear business together, and these are without a doubt the end time. And guess who's on the national or the worldwide stage right now? A nation whose animal symbol is a lion. A nation whose animal symbol is a bear. A nation whose animal symbol is a leopard. And this horrible, terrible beast that is rising up right now. Well, can you go back to that second slide? Yep, nope. So you see the lion there with the wings in it. Daniel said, I saw a lion, and it had wings like an eagle's wings. And I beheld until the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth, made to stand upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Now, you've got to ask yourself, okay, are we in the end time? Well, one thing that's necessary to make that confirmed is Israel back in the land. Is Israel back in the land? Luke 21 and 24, Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. We are in the time of the Gentiles right now. Is Jerusalem under Gentile control, or are they under Jewish control? If they're under, you're wrong. They're under Jewish control. And if they're under Jewish control, that means we're at the end of the time of the Gentiles. Well, praise God. What does that mean? It means we're at the end of a dispensation, and another dispensation is going to begin. Praise God. So we're, and Ezekiel's battle of Gog and Magog is already set and ready to go with Russia and Iran and Libya and Turkey and Persia. And so are we in that the scripture we might loosely call the end times? Well, I believe that we are. I believe that we are. Where are we? Well, I believe we're right down around the time for the sixth trump. The sixth trump is a nuclear exchange where 2 billion people are going to die. That's probably the most significant thing that's going to happen next on the face of the earth. Brother Matt, Sister Chris, you getting married Saturday? You want to make it tomorrow? I don't know when they're going to pull the plug on this war. But somebody's going to be eating, somebody's going to be drinking, somebody's going to be marrying, somebody's going to be giving in marriage until the time that the flood comes. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. So people are going to be doing everything that people normally do until the destruction uncorks on the earth. So if we are in the landscape, the prophetic landscape of the end times, then these nations should be there. So is there a nation on the face of the earth that is symbolized by a lion? And does that nation have some sort of an affinity with something that was torn away from it that is symbolized by eagle's wings? And we have to say yes, because the animal symbol for Great Britain is a lion. Somebody roar for me. It's very good. Some of you just didn't participate. I can't understand that. It's your time to roar. That's what happens when you're raised up in a Pentecostal church. And that's what happens when you ask for audience participation. Thank you, Dawson. I love you. That's right. He's going to be a great apostolic. So, You're old enough to, not that you're old, but you're old enough to remember when they actually taught American history. They don't teach that anymore. They teach how to limit your carbon footprint. And they all genuflect at the icon of Al Gore. But anyway, back in the Stone Age when we went to school, they taught us American history. Where did America come from? America came from England. She's right. And what's the animal symbol of Great Britain?
The lion.
The lion. What's the animal symbol of America?
The eagle.
What kind of eagle?
The bald eagle.
Wait a minute. You had to get that in there, didn't you? No, that's exactly right. The bald eagle. And so, isn't it amazing that from 500 years before Jesus, 2,500 years ago, the prophet, through the visionary power of God, saw that in the last days there would be a nation symbolized by a lion, and it would have a nation symbolized by an eagle torn out of it, and it would be set upon its feet, and it would become as a man. Well, do you remember back in, like, Brother Max, when they were trying to draft you, do you remember the promotional campaign for that? For that drafting, little guy with a Stars and Stripes hat on his head, what'd they call him? They called him Uncle Sam. Uncle Sam wants you. And isn't the Bible just so absolutely concise and powerful? Because that eagle's wing is still dominant for our symbol. But there's also a man's symbol that is associated with the United States, and that's Uncle Sam. And then the last thing he says in the descriptive of America is that a man's heart was given unto it. It stood upon its feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Who rebuilt Europe twice? Who rebuilt Japan after the Second World War? Who has given more? Now, this is, you know, you're going to, let me just tell you something. You're going to hear all kinds of terrible things about America. But if we are only 6% of the population, they want to rage and scream about that. Please, let's turn that upside down for just a moment and say, who gives more for humanitarian causes than any other nation on the face of the earth? And there's nobody even nearly close to us. And we're only 6% of the population. Thank you very much. No, I'm not a member of the John Birch Society. But yes, I'd like the United Nations to get out of the United States. But that's not in the lesson tonight. So, Great Britain is the lion. The United States is the wings of a lion. And then he said there's one that is like a bear. And all of my childhood, on the headlines of the newspapers or in periodicals or perhaps on the covers of Time magazine or Newsweek, what was the predominant symbol for the Soviet Union? It was a bear. Is there a nation in the earth today that has the animal symbol of a bear? Well, that's exactly right. And it's the former Soviet Union. It's Russia. But you notice she's kind of, you know, she just invaded Georgia. One of Brother Pullen's little boys said, well, let me tell you, they can come into Georgia if they want to, but if they come into Alabama, there's going to be trouble. He didn't really understand his geography, but I really appreciated his sentiment. And so Russia is expanding right now. And Russia is so tied together with the events in the Middle East right now. Russia is in terms of technology and in terms of advisors and in terms of weapons systems, they are equipping Iran. And who's equipping Hezbollah and Hamas? Iran. And so all of the enemies of Israel are gathered around about, and down in the bottom of it all, you'll find the bear, or you'll find the former Soviet Union. And then the great and terrible beast. Now, that great and terrible beast, I'll just tell you, is the Antichrist system, and it is a conglomerate of all of these first beasts that we have seen here. Brother Andy, can you go to that conglomerate beast? And if you're following in your Bible, go to Revelation 13. Oh, he's little bitty up there. Oh, and he's right beside the terrible United Nations building. You do know and understand that the United Nations is going to be the vehicle by which these nations come down against Israel in Armageddon. You do understand that this is going to be empowered by the dragon, which is the devil. And it's just really interesting to me that these players are all on the stage right now. But take a look at Revelation 13, if you would. And John said, I stood on the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, I don't want to mix too many metaphors here, but the 10 crowns here are representative of the same 10 kings that are represented by the 10 toes of the giant statue that Nebuchadnezzar. Yeah, I knew that was... We're reaching too far there. But these ten crowns are 10 nations. And the beast which I saw, this great big blasphemous beast rising up out of the sea, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. Everybody say a leopard. Oh, we forgot the four-headed leopard. Can you go back to the one before, Brother Randy? We forgot the leopard. You can see the leopard there behind the bear slightly. He's got wings and he's got 4 heads. And is there a nation in the earth today that has an animal symbol of a leopard? There is. And what is that nation? It's Germany. And he's got 4 heads. In modern history, how many revivals have there been? I don't mean spiritual church revivals. I mean revivals of German power have there been in modern history? There have been 3. The present one, if it extends itself like the former 3, will be the 4th. Hitler called his kingdom the Third Reich, or the Third Regime or Kingdom. And so Germany has had 4 manifestations in modern history. And that's what those 4 heads indicate. Now, we always looked at this and we thought, well, it's just going to be so difficult to do because Germany is split right down the middle. And Germany is so hard to see in as a player in all this because Germany is a divided nation. After World War II, they said, we're never going to fight them again. We're going to stop this foolishness. And they built the Berlin Wall right down through the middle and created East and West Germany. And they said, we're not going to allow them to rise up into power, because every time Germany consolidates, it rises to power and it has expansionist tendencies and it wants to gobble up Europe. And so we're not going to allow that. We're going to create what the periodicals and the magazines and the editorials for decades after World War II would call a deadly wound that will not heal. The Berlin Wall was called a deadly wound that will not heal. Do you know, as we're reading there in Revelation chapter 13, John said, and I saw one of its heads as it was wounded unto the death. But then the deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. And Irvin Baxter, 5 years before the Berlin Wall fell, was the only voice on record that said, Bible prophecy predicts the falling of the Berlin Wall and the reunion of Germany. And this will prepare the way for the Battle of Gog and Magog, which lists Germany as a participant. And so it was a surprise to the whole world when all those young people were sitting on that wall, and Ronald Reagan's challenge to Gorbachev came true when he challenged him and said, Mr. Gorbachev, tear this wall down. I've got a little piece of it, a little chunk on it. Sister Katie brought me from Germany. I've got it sitting on my desk. And it just seems so surreal that the Berlin Wall is no longer a feature in our world's geopolitical discussion. But it's fallen down, and now Germany is together, and that fourth head is ascending in power. And the Word of God says it's going to be a part of an Antichrist system that comes down into the Middle East. Now, let's knit together here Revelation 13, which gives you this a conglomerate beast. When John sees these animals, they're the same animals that Daniel sees, but now they're all together. Before, they were separate nation states, but now they're all connected together. Well, today, are all these animals connected together? Yeah, they are, because they're all members of the United Nations. Brother Randy, can you give me Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 2? I'm giving Brother Andy a lot of work tonight, and I don't know how difficult that is. And if it's real difficult, don't worry about it. Verse 3. And if it's not that, I'll have to go. Oh, here we go. God saying, I am the Lord that created all things and put the breath of life within mankind. He identifies himself and gives you his credentials. And then he says, I'm going to make Jerusalem a cup of trembling for the whole world, and a sharp stone that everybody that takes it up, they're going to cut themselves in pieces. Well, that's the center focus of conflict in the world today, is Jerusalem, and what are we going to do about the Middle East and the Palestinians? But the last line is where we wanted to go. Though all the people of the earth be gathered together against it. There has never been a time in all the world, in all the history of the world, when all the nations of the earth have done anything together until now. And now, under the banner of the United Nations, when the United Nations goes down to war, or they go into an area for aid or for assistance, the whole world is responding, because everybody's on that charter now. Now, as it was in the Gulf Wars, Russia is a part of the United Nations, but they didn't go fight with us when we went into Iraq the first time. That's because they were already there. And they were supplying scuds and military advisors to Iraq and to Saddam Hussein. And the second time we went into Iraq, they weren't with us, because they and the Germans were doing big business with Saddam Hussein and the oil for food program. And everybody was making a fortune off that thing. And it was all happening under the shelter of the United Nations. So all the nations of the world are about to go down against Jerusalem. And it's going to be, can you go back to that conglomerate beast? It's going to be leopard and bear. And there's something I want you to see here. Are you okay? I'm going to turn you loose here in a minute. Chapter 13 in Revelation and verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard. His feet were like the feet of the bear. And everyone say his mouth as the mouth of a lion. What is the official language of the United Nations? It's English. What's the official language of commerce all over the world? It's English. Well, at least for now, I don't know if it's going to change. But right now, it's English. What's the official language for air traffic controllers all over the world? It's English. And so it is like Greek in the time of Jesus Christ. English is that. It is the dominant world language. And it comes off that little tiny island called Great Britain. And we as 6% of the world's population over here. But we've been so dominant that English is the dominant language. And the Bible from 2,000 years ago said that this conglomerate beast, this grouping of nations that's going to be the Antichrist system, will have English as its primary language. Its mouth was the mouth of a lion. And then the last part. And everyone say, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. You need to understand right now that the things that are happening on the face of the earth, the way the nations are moving and the United Nations itself, it's not just the machinations of men, but rather it is a hellish plot in Babylon. The devil wanted to raise up a kingdom that would devour the whole world. In Persia, in Media, he raised up an empire and wanted to take over the whole world. In Rome, he wanted to conquer the whole world. And you just got to understand this. Everywhere you go along the timeline of history, the handprints of the devil have been on it, and he's always wanted to conquer the whole world. There's this little verse, though, in 2 Thessalonians that says, but he who now lets will let until he be taken out of the way. It's a little confusing in the King James because the word let there means allows. I don't know why, but it just does. And so there's something holding him back. And when Nazi Germany would have swallowed up all the world, something was holding it back. Because God was saying, not time yet. It's not time yet. It's not time yet. But the day you're living in, God's about to say, okay, it's time. All right, it's time. And all the nations of the earth are coming together. And you know what it's going to be? It's going to be the whole world against the people of God. It's going to be the whole world against Israel. Well, guess who's going to be standing with Israel? Because in the conglomerate beast of Revelation chapter 13, you find the leopard, you find the bear, you find the lion, you find the great and dreadful and terrible beast. You even find the Roman Catholic Church. But that's another lesson for another day. But you don't find the eagle's wings. You know where you find the eagle's wings? In chapter 12, when Israel's got its back against the wall. And the Bible says she was given the wings of an eagle to take her to a place that was prepared for her in the wilderness. Who's her best friend right now? What's the animal symbol of her best friend? Who's got the greatest air capacity in the whole world right now? Is it going to play out that way? I don't know exactly how it's going to play out. But I'm really excited about these prophetic images that are given to us from 2,000 or 2,500 years ago. And we can stand back and we can say, now you've got to watch this because your natural mind says, oh no, it couldn't be. No, it's not going to happen yet. It can't happen yet. And all the world around you is telling you, all those old ideas are irrelevant. They don't matter. This is what's going to happen. And we're in control, but I'm telling you, the time clock of God is already winding down. These are the days that were spoken of by the prophets of old, and we are they upon whom the ends of the age have come. And I couldn't be more excited about it if I tried. I am so excited to live in a day of prophetic fulfillment in the earth. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Are you excited about this? Shake your neighbor a little bit and tell them this world is not my home. I'm just a traveling through. My treasures are laid up Somewhere Beyond the Blue. Now, you may not be all excited about the lyrics there, but it's a good old song. But it's a wonderful biblical fact. Let's stand together. Praise God. Praise God. Well, come on down around the altar. Don't be afraid. Touch your neighbor and say, we're not going to take the mark. We're going to witness for Jesus, for the word of God. We're not going to worship the beast. We're going to just keep on worshiping Jesus. We're going to be one God apostolic tongue-talking holy rollers. Brother Randy, you can turn this back on if you want up here. So that it will help them wake up. Praise God. Glory to God. I want you to just, as you get here, just begin to give God some thanks and praise and magnify his name. If you have sin, active sin in your life, you need to repent of that tonight. Tonight. If it all breaks loose tonight, you need to be ready tonight. If the world has a seismic shift tonight, you need to be ready tonight. Well, praise God. Well, praise God. You know, I'm going to get this guy to come here. There's a little evangelist running all over the country now by the name of Tim Downs. And he goes into churches like this. And he's going to come here and he's going to get you to do this. And they just go out all over the town and they just go up to total strangers and say, are you going to heaven or hell? And it's such a shocking approach that people don't know exactly how to respond. And so they are taking them by the hundreds to the church and baptizing them in Jesus' name and seeing them filled up with the Holy Ghost. So we're going to do a little of that. I don't know if we'll do that as an ongoing project. I don't know if it's your very best approach. But I love trying new things. But lay your hand on your neighbor and ask him that tonight. Are you going to heaven or hell? Do you know? Come on. Do you know that you know? The old timers would say, do you have the victory? And what they meant, or is it all right with your soul tonight? Are you okay? Do you have your hand in the world's cookie jar? Praise God. Let me just tell you a couple of things and I'm going to let you go. If you backslide today, you're an idiot. I mean, backsliding has always been a lousy idea, but today, ridiculous. Prophecy is on the headlines. It's all around you. Praise God. Praise God. And to be lukewarm today, bad idea. Bad idea. Come get close to the fire. You want to come get right up in the middle of this, as close as you can. Praise God. Before we go tonight, I want you to lay your hand on somebody by you. If perchance that person does not have the Holy Ghost, I want you to help them pray through the Holy Ghost right now. But I want you to pray for one another. Pray an anointed prayer for your brother, your sister in the Lord tonight before we go. Sing Jesus.
Jesus. Whatever you're doing
in this season,
please don't do it without me.
Don't do it without me.
Don't do it without me.
Hallelujah. Somebody let that heavenly language flow up out of your vessel. Praise God. Well, praise God. Everybody doing well in your Holy Ghost? Remember, there are Ignite flyers in the foyer. Invite some young person to come to the house of God on Friday evening at 7:30. And we have these generic flyers for New Life. We're going to have revival around here Sunday morning and Sunday night. And you want to bring an empty vessel to the house. God bless you. Share your love and your victory with somebody before you leave the house tonight.